That was wonderful. Thank you, worship team. Ah, perfect. Thank you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We've been talking about receiving the blessings of the Lord. And, you know, it's interesting as I study, it's almost like, where do I end? Where do I stop? Because the Lord just, as you know, the Lord wants to give you His blessings. He's not a stingy God. He's a God who loves you. He wants to pour out upon you His blessings. And all of us have received the blessings of God. I remember in the 1980s, there was a song, and you may not be familiar with it, but it goes something like this. We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, we are blessed. We've shelter, clothing, and strength. We are blessed. We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. We are blessed. We don't deserve it, and yet we are blessed. Isn't that a beautiful song? We are blessed. And the truth is, we don't deserve it. There's not a thing we've done to earn God's blessings. He just wants to bless us because we are His children. Or He wants to bless us so that we become His children. But that's all He is about, is blessing us. I've been trying to encourage you, and I hope that you understand by now that God wants to bless you. However, you may say, like this song says, I don't deserve God's blessings. Okay? Just look what I did last week. I'm not controlling my mouth like I ought to. Not controlling my actions like I want to. I don't deserve God's blessings. Well, that's true. But God wants to bless you anyway. Isn't that amazing? God is such a wonderful, glorious, marvelous God. The truth is, we don't always put others first. We aren't always going to put the Lord first. And sometimes, more often than I like to admit, I'm pretty selfish. And I have selfish motives. And yet, the Lord wants to bless anyway. As we begin this morning, you recall, and I will remind you of this every week, and the reason is because sometimes, even though there may have been a time in your life when you were receiving a tremendous amount of blessings and you saw it every day, but sometimes those blessings dry up. Sometimes they dwindle. And sometimes the channel of God's blessings just stop up altogether. And so, what is the reason for this? And you need to find out, if that's where you are today, if your blessings aren't flowing the way they used to, then you need to know, why is this that my blessings are not what they used to be? First thing, there's five questions you need to ask of the Lord, five questions you need to ask of yourself, if that is the case for you today. The first one is there sin in my life I need to turn from? Because sin can hinder God's blessings. There's a passage of Scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, that says, the Lord will not hear because of the transgressions of my people. It may be your prayers aren't getting answered because there's something you're harboring in your life. And this is something I have to check on myself quite often. Am I holding on to unforgiveness? God said, I can't forgive you if you don't forgive others. Am I holding on to unforgiveness? Am I being a faithful steward of what God has blessed me with? Am I being a faithful steward of His resources? Those are some questions. If things are drying up, this could be an area. Perhaps there may be some things on the internet you're looking at that ought not be, that God will we talked about last week, he will discipline his children. And sometimes that discipline is he withdraws the blessings that you would normally have received had you followed him and be obedient to him. The second reason for the drying up of God's resources is this an attack from the enemy? Is this an attack from the enemy? We looked at Daniel. We looked at also, who else? I don't recall now. Get your notes out. Come back to that. We looked at Daniel, and he was praying to the Lord. And as he was praying, there was an angel that stopped the blessings from the Lord, and he wasn't able to receive God's blessings. The third question we need to ask, and this is the one I will be addressing today, is this a test from the Lord? Is this a test from the Lord? The fourth one is the Lord trying to get my attention to perhaps change my direction? And the fifth one is this just part of life struggles that all people go through? Okay. So let's deal with, is this a test from the Lord? So what is the purpose of trials? Why does God allow trials to come into our lives? 1 Peter 1:7 mentions four reasons for the trials. And so we're going to kind of camp on this passage of Scripture today. If you will stand for the reading of God's Word, then we will get started. Peter says, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. And Bryce, I'm going to pray for you at the same time that we have this prayer, okay? Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I suspect that all of us here today are not receiving the manifold blessings that you want to pour out upon us for one reason or another. And God, we need to know why. What has caused the stoppage of your blessings coming upon us? And so, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal that to us. Because, Lord, if we understand the reason, then we can go through it a lot better than if we don't understand. And so, Lord, thank you for answering prayer. Lord, open our hearts to be able to receive what you tell us. Lord, you want us to know why we're going through these things. So, Lord, thank you. Maybe we don't understand it in the moment, but, Lord, there will come a time when you will reveal that to us. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And, Lord, I want to pray for Bryce, his request today, that he has a safe trip to go get his son, give him safety as he travels. Lord, watch out for him. I pray that you'd set your angels around him. And Lord, I pray that this will be it seems like a divine appointment. And Lord, that this could be the most wonderful thing for his home and also for his son. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, there are others here who have special requests, and I just want to lift them up to you. Lord, sometimes we come into the service and we're unable to really hear because of the turmoil that's going on in our heart or the turmoil that's going on in our life or our mind. And so we just say, as Jesus did, peace, be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. And Lord, let the storms of life just pass us by so that we can really engage with what you have to tell us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we find in this passage of Scripture is that tests reveal if your faith is genuine. It will show whether your faith is genuine or not. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and handed the cashier a $20 bill or a $50 bill? and she takes a pen or he takes a pen and scribbles on it. Do you know why they do that? See if it's counterfeit. See if it's a real deal. It's a test. It's a test to see if it's a real deal. And so what this passage of Scripture says is that God oftentimes, not oftentimes, God will always bring a test into your life to find out if your profession of faith is genuine or if it's counterfeit. And we'll get to Jesus in a minute, but do you remember what happened to him right after he was baptized? He was tested. And you need to understand this. So when I was growing up, I probably prayed the prayer 100 times. You know what I'm talking about? But each time I prayed the prayer and I was tested, the fruit of being a Christian wasn't there. I continue to go back to the, like we talked about, the hog going back to the walla, okay, or the dog going back to his vomit. That's kind of what I did. Time and time and time again. There was a test, and I didn't pass the test. But God didn't give up. Okay? There was a time when I was about 21, maybe 22 years old, when Christ became a reality in my heart. And then when the test came, I passed the test. Well, now that wasn't the end of the tests. But there was a test to prove whether or not my conversion was genuine or whether it was counterfeit. And I'm going to submit to you this morning, there may be some of you here today who have a counterfeit faith rather than a genuine faith. You may have prayed the prayer. You may have been baptized. You may be a member of this church or some other church. You may have been confirmed in another denomination. But I want to ask you a question. This is between you and the Lord. You don't have to answer me unless you want to. Is your faith genuine or counterfeit? This is a huge question you need to ask yourself. As a matter of fact, if you want to, you can take that communication card, put your name on it, say, my faith is genuine. Or my faith is counterfeit. Or you could say, my faith, I don't know. But I guarantee, if you want help in this matter, I will be more than happy to help you with this. Because it's miserable not knowing. I've been there. So Peter says to this group of individuals who was in Asia Minor, Christians who were being persecuted, he says to them, listen, I want to encourage you. The reason you're going through these trials, one reason is to prove whether or not your faith is genuine or whether or not it's counterfeit. Have you ever seen a counterfeit Christian? I was one. Yeah, I was serving in youth ministry. Counterfeit Christian. Thank the Lord he brought me out of that. The second thing we see in this passage of Scripture is that the trials of faith cause you to be purified in your relationship with Christ. We call it sanctification. That word sanctification means that, and actually there's two meanings to that. One of the meanings is that God sets you apart for himself. as his child. And the second one is that you are begin, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in you that purifies you. Okay? He's a purification process, just like gold and silver is purified. I'm sure you're familiar with the process of purifying gold and silver. They just keep heating it up and heating it up and heating up. And the more that heats up, the more dross comes to the surface. And they scoop the dross off so that the gold can be refined and purified. The silver can be refined, purified, and it becomes pure. 99.999% pure. And God will continue to go through, take you through trials to do that. And a lot of times we whine and cry and complain. But this is not what God is intending. He's not intending for us to resist him. He's intending for us to get that in our heart so that those things can be taken from us that's keeping us from allowing Christ to be glorified in our life. And many of us, no, all of us, come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And the old man, supposed to be dead, but he tries to rise up and take authority. Rise up and be the one on the throne. And we have to keep putting him to death. Paul said, I die daily. What do you think that meant? He said, every day I got to put old Paul to death. Saul wants to rise up. And I'm going to put Saul to death, and I'm going to let Paul in Christ live. I die daily. We have to, if we're going to allow Christ to be glorified in our life, we have to die daily. We have to. One of the things that the Lord uses, there's a passage of Scripture, and I think it's Matthew 14. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know what? Do you want a good test to see how godly you are? Listen to what your mouth says. Because Scripture says whatever your mouth says is an indication of what's going on in the heart. If you have poison coming out of your mouth, you've got poison in your heart. And so if you have poison coming out of your mouth, you need to say, oh Lord, I've got poison in my heart. I've got unforgiveness in my heart. I've got anger in my heart. I've got pain in my heart. I've got fear in my heart. Whatever's in your heart is going to be displayed through your mouth and through your actions. And that ought to be an indication to you that you need to draw close to the Lord so those things can be removed from you. And God allows you to go through tests for that very purpose, for that very reason. So one of the reasons is that he may test to see whether you're counterfeit or whether you're authentic. Another one is so that you can get the garbage, the poison, out of your heart and out of your life. That's what Peter's saying. The third thing that Peter mentions is that James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Tests are intended to cause spiritual growth and increase in faith. Tests are intended to cause spiritual growth and increase in faith. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whether you face trials of many kinds, whenever you face trials of many kinds, say joy. Say many kinds of trials. Consider it pure joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! When trials come, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you're making me mature, where you're making me complete in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to trust you even when the dark times come. I'm going to trust you because I know you're doing something in me that is going to benefit the kingdom, is going to benefit me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Rejoice And again, I say, rejoice. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 4, and he was in prison. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. He's not preaching a bunch of words. He's living it out. He's living it out. Lord, help us that we get on your side and quit complaining and grumbling and whining about our situation. Say mature child of God. Say complete. So what do you want to be? An infant or a mature child of God? Okay. Then if that's where you want to be, then you need to, I need to, go through these trials. We need to go through these tests with a smile on our face, proclaiming God's goodness in our lives. Because he's doing something that only these trials will accomplish. Rejoice. He says rejoice. He says rejoice. Did Peter ever go through any problems? Did he ever go through any trials? Consider it. Listen. Consider it all joy. We need to change an attitude, don't we? God, why are you doing this to me? God, I don't know why you're doing it, but I thank you for it. Because you're doing something wonderful in my life that only this can accomplish. I want to grow up. I don't want to be an infant all my life. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want people to change my diapers all my life. I don't want to be just on milk all my life. Lord, I want you to do something in my life. The fourth thing, he says, tests pass, bring about great blessings in this life and in the one to come. Tests pass, bring blessings to us on this earth and in heaven as well. Did you know that when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to identify people who've passed the test? Did you know that? Because there's going to be a glory about them that may not be, that's not going to be on other people. Listen again to 1 Peter, that passage of scripture that we read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These trials will show your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring, listen, it will bring you, he didn't say it will bring Jesus, it does. And then said, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It will bring you. Jesus is going to say, man, I'm proud of you, daughter. I'm proud of you, son. And there's going to be much praise and honor and glory put upon you because you've passed the test. Because you've passed the test. Romans 7:21, I forget what it says right now. It just came to mind. Maybe it's 21:7. Yeah, it's 21:7. It says, he who overcomes, listen, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. How are you going to overcome all things if you don't overcome the little things? Right? And this is what he says. When you overcome, and you can go back to Revelation chapter 3 and 4 and look at the churches and the things that are blessed, they are blessed with when they overcome. We don't have time to address that today, maybe next week. But this passage says, he who overcomes shall inherit what things? All things. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that amazing? And that son means mature child of God. are a mature individual ready to take on the responsibilities that God requests of him. That's what that means. In Greek, it's a huios, which means a mature individual. Okay. Greek. I just want to encourage you, church. Peter's encouraging those individuals who are going through great trials. I want to encourage you. When you go through trials, God's hadn't forgot about you. As a matter of fact, he's working in you. Okay? He's working in you. So this morning, let God do his work in you. Don't backpedal. Don't whine. Don't complain. Don't criticize. Bring it on. Bring it on. Amen. Father, I come before you. I thank you for this congregation. I just pray your blessings upon them. Lord, I pray you'd be with Spencer as he's going to be sharing with us a ministry that we can get involved with. In Jesus' name, amen. Spencer, would you come up?
Wonderful. Now, can you hear me? Yes, I hear myself. Thanks again, Pastor Brad, for a wonderful word of encouragement. And it's just great to be with you all this morning and be able to shout a joyful noise unto the Lord with you this morning. Amen. Boy, I just want that to be the posture of my heart. You know, so if you're walking downtown today and you hear somebody out there and you hear this victory, that's me. I want that to be me. That is such an encouragement to me today. It's wonderful to be here. Again, my name's Spencer Miller. I'm a ministry relations manager with Johnny and Friends. And Johnny and Friends exists to reach, care for, and connect people with disabilities to the gospel through the global church. And so I know most of you had talked or had mentioned that you had heard of Johnny Erickson Tata, our founder. And she started this ministry over 40 years ago. We're going to hear from her just a second in a video, but I wanted to tell you about the kind of bring an awareness to what disability looks like around the world. 1 in every 7 people lives with a disability around the world. Over 1 billion people on the planet live with some form of disability, many of those considered invisible disabilities. So if you think of PTSD, or if you think of some forms of autism, these types of invisible disabilities that exist. And when you consider that number, it represents the largest minority group on the planet. And then when you consider that of those 1 billion people, only about 5 to 10% in the world, they estimate, have a relationship with Jesus. And so it also represents the largest unreached people group on the planet. And here in the United States, it's not much different. Here in the Pacific Northwest, there are about 2 million, a little over 2 million people living with disabilities. And we estimate that probably 15% at the most of folks in the United States have a relationship with Christ. So we have this wonderful mission opportunity to reach, care, and connect people living with disability to the gospel. And it starts with an awareness, and it starts with a softening of our heart to open up the church and break down barriers to allow those folks to come to know the Lord. Now, I want to share a little bit about Johnny's story, and I want her to be able to share that with you a little bit personally. So I'm going to turn to the video now, and you're going to hear a little bit about Johnny's trial and how the Lord used her greatest misery for his greatest ministry.
For me, it's personal. It began back in 1967. I was 17, athletic. One summer day, I went swimming in the bay with my sister. I swam out to this raft anchored a few yards offshore, took a reckless dive into shallow water. I knew then my life had changed forever. My doctor said, Johnny, you're going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life without use of your hands, your legs. And I said, God, I can't live like this. I won't live like this. because I couldn't hold razors or push pills down my throat, I knew I couldn't end my life physically. So I was tempted to end my life emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I wanted to just lay in bed, tell my mother to turn off the lights and shut the door. Finally, in the dark behind that closed door, I cried out, God, if I can't die, then show me how to live. Thankfully, God put Christian friends in my life who opened the Bible and showed me that God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. He permits awful things like paralysis to bring forth Christ in me, the hope of glory. My Christian friends helped me find purpose in that, and I learned to give thanks, even in the little things. And with each bit of obedience, my faith grows, my perspective widens, the world gets bigger, and eventually I wheeled out of that dark bedroom and began to embrace life. I discovered there's a world of other disabled people in dark bedrooms who, like me, need to embrace life and know God. I started writing about this and speaking, and before I knew it, my message gave birth to Johnny and friends. If there are folks languishing in isolation without hope, our team at Johnny and Friends connects them to local churches and resources, providing a Bible and the hope of Christ. If there's a marriage breaking apart due to a child's disability, we'll scholarship them at one of our family retreats. If there's a disabled child in Uganda crawling in the dirt, or a grandmother in Guatemala being pushed in a wheelbarrow, our Wheels for the World teams will provide a wheelchair and a Bible in their language. If someone can't reach any further than their radio, the Johnny and Friends radio program brings hope right into their home. Our Christian Institute on Disability trains pastors, policymakers, and equips churches. And when it comes to the next generation, our Cause for Life interns roll up their sleeves and they do disability ministry in dark corners of the world. My husband, Ken, and I are joined by an amazing team of Johnny and Friends, whether at our headquarters in Southern California, our area ministry teams around the country, or our network of partners and volunteers all across the globe. Our passion is to see people and special needs families embrace Christ, embrace the circumstances that God puts them in, and embrace life. I was there. I know what it's like. And for me, every face, every life changed, every soul saved is personal. So join me. Do as Christ commands in Luke 14. Go out quickly. Find the disabled and bring them into his fellowship. It'll not only fill God's house, it'll fill your heart.
Well, that's the story of our founder, Johnny Erickson Tada. And for over four decades, God has been working through her faithfully to bring the hope of the gospel to different corners of the globe, and including here in the United States. And she talked about some of the programs that Johnny and Friends gets behind to help support families affected by disability. Things like Cause for Life, our Christian Institute for Disability, our Johnny's House is her newest legacy, where we just opened a facility in El Salvador where they get free medical care, they get free consulting on how to come and get work. They get help spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They're able to walk in the doors and get every need met free of charge. And that's just the beginning of Johnny's House. We're going to plan to open three more of those in the United States this year and a few more around the globe. So it's just an amazing opportunity to minister to families affected by disability. We have that opportunity. The mission of Johnny and Friends is to mobilize the church to evangelize, disciple, and serve families affected by disability. And the one I want to talk to you about today is our family retreat. And that retreat has been the core program for Johnny and Friends now for 30 years. The very first one was held right up the road in Cannon Beach. We have been putting on more and more ever since. There's several dozen in the United States throughout the country, and now they're held around the world. And so this summer, for the 13th year at Twin Rocks, we're going to be hosting our family retreat June 20th through 25th. And so we're reaching out to the community here in Tillamook and inviting them to participate. First Christian got involved last year. They had a carnival that the church operated at our family retreat, and they loved it. The kids just had a blast. And it's a wonderful opportunity to come alongside and serve these families. They're blessed. It's a mountaintop moment for them. Parents have time to have respite, to connect with other parents that are going through similar trials in their life and find strength in community. And of course, the children often that are there that are affected by disability, it's just pure joy from sun up to sundown to have people come alongside them and participate in the activities that are planned for those 5 days. And so we wanted to invite you to retreat and give you the opportunity to participate. We've got some brochures we'll leave with you here today that give you some more information about it. There's a number of ways that you can serve. We have people that serve on the hospitality team, which help with the meals throughout the day. We have our special ops team, which is a cool word for helping to set things up and take things down during the course of the week. And of course, we have opportunities to do buddy ministry, which is you get partnered up with one of our friends affected by disability and get to be their friend throughout that week and guide them through all the different activities that are going on. We have roughly between 30 and 35 families every year at Twin Rocks, which maxes that capacity out. And so we need 150 volunteers in order to accommodate all those families, or else we can't bring them all in. And so it's a great opportunity to come alongside of them. And it does something in us. It does something in us. God does a work in our heart, softening our heart. A lot of times in the church, we have barriers that we're not even aware of. Some of them are physical barriers that prevent folks with disability from entering the building, but then others are just the social barriers of our hearts that God just does a work in us to help break those barriers down. And he does that through these opportunities to serve at family retreat. So I want to close with this video for a story that personalizes exactly what this family retreat is like for a mother and her child, to give you just a glimpse of what God does at family retreat.
I've never been able to walk beside Nicholas because I'm always behind him, pushing him. And being at camp, I'm able to be beside him and hold his hand.
Hi, I'm Janae Stogner, and my son is Nicholas Stogner. He is 17 years old. He has cerebral palsy, cortical vision impairment, seizures, can't walk or talk or do anything for himself. He's completely fed by a feeding tube. Going somewhere for a long term with Nicholas is a challenge because there's so much that I have to prepare for ahead of time. How many times is he going to use the bathroom? He wears a diaper. I got to have the wet wipes. I have to have the milk, the suction machine, his breathing treatment machine. It's so much to pack, and it's difficult to get things together, but going to Johnny and Friends family retreat, it's worth it. Being a single mom of a special needs child, I did not travel out very much, but with the Johnny and Friends retreat, I knew that I was going to a place where people were prepared to help with someone with special needs. And that was a blessing. And that was our first time getting out because we just didn't have anywhere to go beforehand. First day when I got here, it was all this excitement. I was just on cloud nine. It was good to connect with other parents. When I got there, Nicholas was not the only one with cerebral palsy. I didn't have to explain what cerebral palsy was. I didn't have to explain the feeding tube and get strange looks. Nicholas's buddies were very wonderful this week. They were able to pick him up out of the wheelchair, move him, take care of him fully. They told me they have Nicholas, that I could stay in the room and get some rest. And that was a huge help to me, that I knew that he was taken care of and that I could just relax and rest.
I hope to encourage Nick's mom by just giving her relief, kind of like a vacation for both of them, so we can take stress off her shoulders and give Nick a good time.
I have to encourage her just by giving her a break, so that she can just relax, have some time to herself, because it is hard work.
It really just humbles you to see what serving others can do, how it can relieve stress from other people, make everybody else around you joyful, and make Nick happy.
At family retreat, I can jump in the pool. I can be a kid myself. with my kid. Nicholas has so much more joy at family retreat. That's just God helping him and being with him and showing him excitement, showing Nicholas that he is loved and that there's more than just his mom and grandparents that love him, that other people love him too. What makes me come back to family retreat is forgetting about everyday life and connecting with nature and God and just focusing on each other and having time where we don't have to worry about what the world thinks of us, because everybody else here is like we are. We keep each other lifted up. This is my only time away. I can walk alone outside and see the stars and the moon at night and just relax and feel safe. So hopefully I can be an inspiration to someone else, because Nicholas is 17 and I can share some stories and give people hope and that you can go through it. And Johnny Erickson Tata and Johnny and Friends has helped me be an outreach to teach others. Johnny and Friends has helped us grow closer together as a family.
So you get to see just some of the joy that comes through being able to participate both as a family and as someone who gets to serve at a family retreat. And it's just a blessing. And Twin Rocks has been just an amazing experience for so many families over the years. So would love to invite you. I'll be around after the service here. If you have questions, love to visit with you some more about it, answer any questions that you have and get you pointed in the right direction. And hope to see some of you here this summer in June at Family Retreat. Thanks so much for having me today.
That's a tremendous ministry. It's going to be a tremendous blessing to a lot of people. And so thank you, Spencer, very much for sharing with us this morning. Tom, would you sing our song? Okay. You just come over here. Zoom needs to hear the blessing too.
All right, Zoom. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. Be blessed.
Amen.
Bless somebody. Go and love on someone today and tomorrow and the next day and forever.